butter my butt and call me a biscuit.
The month of April was made for Buffalo Wild Wings. Why? Plenty of excuses for you to go and be at Buffalo Wild Wings this month. Whether it's the start of the Major League Baseball season, of course, the Tampa Bay Lightning in the Stanley Cup playoffs, trying that all-new, all-American cheeseburger with that gooey cheese. Mmm. And of course, the 2019 Bud Light Bucks Uncensored Draft Party, April 25th and 26th. There you will have a $25 all-you-can-eat buffet, 16-ounce aluminum bottles of Bud, Bud Light, Mick Ultra, 5 for $15, 2 portable outdoor bars underneath our huge tent and in front of that massive HD screen, all taking credit cards, giving you quick access to what you need on draft night, the draft. Buffet, food, and alcohol. You're only going to find it at Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. We look forward to seeing you there. Buffalo Wild Wings, Bucks Uncensored, JoeBucksFan.com, and of course the Bucks Mob. We welcome you to the family. Springtime's always been the right time to buy a new or pre-owned vehicle. It was for me just 1 year ago. It can be you this year. Mastro Subaru, the place to go for new and pre-owned vehicles, especially if you're a Bucks fan. If you go there, test drive a vehicle, you want to buy that vehicle, you tell them you're a member of the Bucks Mob, you get a special discount just for being a Bucks fan. It's that simple. Mastro Subaru has two locations serving the Bucks Mob throughout the I-4 corridor. One in Orlando, one right here in Tampa off of Hillsborough Avenue near the Veterans. Mastro Subaru, check out their full selection. New and pre-owned vehicles at MastroSubaru.com.
I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, I'm about to whip somebody's ass. Oh, if you don't leave me alone, you're gonna have to send me home. 'Cause I'm about to whip somebody's ass.
I'm not about building, I'm about reloading.
Butts uncensored! Butts uncensored!
As far as goals go, we have one. Putting a fucking ring on her finger.
He said, "Coach, how's it feel to be the coolest coach in the NFL?" I said, "Just being me."
Hi, this is Bucks Uncensored. I'm the commish, Justin Pawlowski. Very excited to say that we are just two weeks away from the party of the year. Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa, that's where we'll be. Parties both nights, April 25th and 26th. They start at 6 o'clock, all-you-can-eat buffet. This is, so Thursday night is obviously the big night, round one. That's the only night we'll have the all-you-can-eat buffet and the tent outside. The second night, we're inside Buffalo Wild Wings, just packing that place out. But Thursday night, April 25th, all-you-can-eat buffet, $25. 16-ounce aluminum bottles, Bud Light, Mick Ultra, 5 for $15. We got shot specials going on, two full outdoor bars underneath the massive tent, both having huge beer tubs, both taking credit cards, a huge HD screen, a DJ playing music from 5 to 8 as you arrive. What more could you ask for? What more could you ask for? We've got it all for you. The Bud Light Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa. You know it. We'll see you there. We are going to talk about some of the linebackers, really the back seven of the defense, linebackers, corners, and safeties that are going to be or should be decent fits for the Bucks, no matter the round. So we'll talk about some of those names for you to keep an eye on or to do some additional research on. Hey, I'm going to do some additional research, you know? Some of these guys I haven't even seen yet. make sure I get my eye on them so that I can give a proper assessment if and when they get drafted by the Bucks. If or when, not if and when. And we'll do some, what I want to do is, I got a couple of Bucks takes I want to try and squeeze in here at the beginning, because the second part of the podcast, I was on a buddy of mine, Phil's podcast, as I got to kind of embrace the other side, being interviewed. Phil had me on full press coverage, his podcast, covering the Bucks, man, did an awesome job with some really, really hard-hitting questions. And, of course, I rambled on aimlessly for long periods of time. You don't want to miss it. It's coming up in just a moment. All right. So we started on Monday with, and you haven't, if you haven't heard Monday's podcast, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends that could interest the Bucks in this year's draft. So we focused on the skill positions for offense Monday. We'll look at the back seven on defense today. Next week, we'll dive into the line of scrimmage. Offensive line likely on Monday. And then, of course, the defensive line and edge rushers. That'll be a big one on Wednesday of next week. And then, of course, it's draft week, which we will have a big time roll call for you that week. So if you're coming to the draft party, prepare your, keep them short, 30 to 45 seconds. I'm coming, where are you coming from? And let the hype party begin. But first, who will the Buccaneers select come draft weekend? I do not anticipate in any way the Buccaneers selecting a corner in the first round. I'm pretty sure most of you probably agree with me on that. I don't foresee it happening with the fifth pick, and I don't foresee it happening if they trade down. So guys, players like Greedy Williams, Byron Murphy, and maybe even DeAndre Baker, I just don't see those players playing for the Buccaneers this upcoming season. Second round is a different story. Second round, top of the second round, it would not surprise me, based on who they have on their roster right now, who may still be available in free agency, will they end up with money to go after said players? I mean, I would believe so. I do believe that Todd Bowles likely looked at Carlton Davis and said, that can be my number one corner. I do believe, unlike some of you, that Vernon Hargreaves could be significantly better in this defense on the outside. I don't think he has to play slot in this defense. I thought Ryan Smith came on a little bit last year. MJ Stewart's moving to safety. And one other guy that played well was Devontae Harris. He was one of those corners that came on in the second half of the season, and you're like, who is this guy? He was everywhere. So I don't hate the depth right now at corner. I think you got your two starters. Figure out who your slot guy is going to be. But they need at least one guy. They need at least one more guy, and maybe even one more rookie and a veteran. But as I've said all offseason, I think they need a veteran more than a rookie. But if they are going to look for a rookie, there are a couple of guys in the second round that I think could be viable options for them. Rakia Sin, Temple, 6 foot, 192, in-your-face corner, okay, physical corner. The other guy who's also physical corner, man corner, is Amani Aruari, whatever. The Penn State guy who's tall, 6'2", 205. So you're talking about him, 6'2", 205, Rakia Sin, 6 foot, 192. Bigger corners, man corners, opposite of Carlton Davis with Vernon Hargreaves inside. It's attractive, right? People probably nodding their head and going, yeah, man, you get that defensive lineman in the first round, corner in the second. And that's fine and dandy. And maybe that's the way they go. Maybe that's the way I want them to go. But you're not going to fix it all, right? Who's playing guard? Kappa? Okay. Who's his backup? Who's right tackle? Still DeMar Dotson? Yeah, I don't know. Who's running back? Peyton Barber? Rojo? Okay. There's other linebacker, edge. I mean, okay. If you want to go corner that early, just going to have to address the other needs in other rounds or through free agency with the free agents that are left. Personally, I think, I don't know if I would go with a corner even early second round. Although, if they did go with either of those guys I just mentioned, intriguing. But there are some big corners in this draft. Bigger than normal, right? You look at Jawan Williams out of Vanderbilt. I guess he just ran his 40 in the 4.5s. You're like, 4.5s? 6'4", 211. Big corner. Trayvon Mullen out of Clemson, 6'1", 200. Sean Bunting, Central Michigan, 6', 195. Lonnie Johnson, Kentucky, 6'2", 213. Isaiah Johnson, Houston, 6'2", 208. Corey Ballantyne, Washington. Washington? Washburn? 6', 204. And, of course, Michael Jackson out of Miami, 6'1", 210. So the reason I wanted to give you their heights and weights, these are big corners this year. I mean, Jamel Dean out of Auburn, 6'1". Smith out of Alabama, 6'1". I'm just looking at this. I mean, the smaller corners, David Long, Michigan, 5'11", 200. Chris Boyd, Texas, 5'11", 201. These are thick, good-sized corners, okay, this year. And I believe this fits right in with what Todd Bowles wants to do. So whether the Buccaneers are looking early rounds, you know, Greedy Williams, Byron Murphy, Rock Ya-Sin, or they're looking mid-rounds, you know, is that a guy like a Trayvon Mullen? Is it a Isaiah Johnson? Is it a Sean Bunting? You know, I think there's corners to be had for the Buccaneers, really through the fifth round if they wanted. You know, if they wanted to draft a developmental guy that can be behind these other players that I just mentioned on their roster, and if they sign a veteran, that would make a lot of sense. Then again, if they sign a veteran, they might not even need to draft one because of all the young corners already on their roster. Safety for this team, it's hard for me to wrap my brain around the Buccaneers drafting a safety within the first three rounds of this draft. You know, we've seen them invest picks in Jordan Whitehead and Justin Evans the last couple of years. Kentrell Bryce was a free agent they brought in. Isaiah Johnson started games last year. Those are your four safeties on the current roster. And so I'm to believe they're going to go out in the first or second round and draft a Chauncey Gardner-Johnson out of Florida or Jonathan Abram. Now, they visited with, I believe those players visited one Buck place, which is like, well, you know, they're interested. If they draft, I don't know if either of those safeties make it to the third round. So are they going to draft one of those two safeties in the second round? And is that going to be their early second round pick? Not sure that I mean, I know it's not a position of need, necessity for this team, but that's me looking at the roster. That's you looking at the roster. That's not Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians looking at the roster. And if they look at this roster and they say, we can't work with Justin Evans, or we can't work with Whitehead, or yeah, we look at Evans, Whitehead, and Isaiah Johnson as we can do better. Bryce, we brought him in on a one-year deal, but we need an impact player at safety. If that's the case, maybe we see a safety go in the second round of this team. And I think they may lean more towards Jonathan Abram than Gardner Johnson from Florida, but that's just me. I wouldn't mind a trash talker back there in the safety, at safety. But like I said, I don't think it's a necessity to go with a safety that early. I think you look at third round, late third, into the fourth. I think a guy like Imani Hooker or Jaquan Johnson, a Hooker out of Iowa, Johnson out of Miami, a lot of other safeties. You know, there's always safeties in the mix in the mid rounds. The Bucks got one of them last year in Jordan Whitehead, and I think a lot of you enjoyed watching Whitehead play last year. So when you got him, you got Justin Evans, who scored a touchdown in that first game against the Saints. And then, of course, Bryce coming in as a free agent. I think you don't need a safety, which is why you should look to one of those mid-round safeties if they're even going to go in that spot. Same thing with linebacker. Is this a need? You know, so many people had Devin White just penned in. Like, it was done deal. Devin White was going to be drafted by the Bucks with the fifth overall pick. As time has gone on, people have come to their senses a little bit and realized that an off-the-ball linebacker like Devin White, like Devin Bush, like any linebacker in a 4-3 defense or any middle linebacker, period, I believe Joe Bucks fan had this, that no off-the-ball linebacker or middle linebacker has been selected in the top five in the last 26 years. There's a reason for that. Off-the-ball linebackers are a dime a dozen. You can find them, okay? For every Derrick Brooks, there's 15 Aaron Currys, okay? So when I look at Devin White and Devin Bush, shit, yeah. I think both are talented players. I think both can make impacts on their new teams. But they're not going to make near the impact that a similar impactful defensive lineman will make. Because an impactful defensive lineman will always make more game-changing plays than an impactful linebacker. And those type of linebackers you can find every year if you wanted to, and they're also failures every year. Kind of hit or miss with linebacker. Just because they have the natural raw ability and they're fast and they're strong, and that does not tell the whole story. And that's, I have a tough time selecting an off-the-ball linebacker with the fifth pick. If they take one, hey, I'll be happy. And I'll immediately picture Devin White or Devin Bush in a Bucks uniform flying around and making all kind of plays. But if they do decide that they're going to select White or Bush, they better figure out those guys in front of them. If Gerald McCoy's on the way out, who's playing ends in your 3-4? Who's playing next to Vita Vea? Golston? The guy you just signed from the Texans who played at the University of Houston? I think that is a big area of focus, which is why Quinnen Williams, Ed Oliver. Did a whole podcast on that. Second round, you can look at Mac Wilson, a bigger middle linebacker for the Alabama Crimson Tide. You also have guys from Clemson and Trey Lamar, Tavon Coney, who went to Notre Dame, but by the way, is from, I believe, down South Florida. And then a TJ Edwards, who maybe a fourth or fifth round pick as a linebacker out of Wisconsin. The issue I think some Bucks fans are having is that breaking the mold of the 4-3 alignment, the weak side linebacker, the stereotypical Derrick Brooks, right? Middle linebacker, strong side linebacker, the Al Singleton, the guy who's taken on multiple blocks, the blah, blah, blah. That's not the way anymore. You're going to have your two middle linebackers and your two edge rushers now. So if I look at a Trey Lamar and say, oh, he's only a two-down player, better against the run than he is the pass, not great in coverage. So I could get Lamar, play him early downs, and then throw Deion Buchanan in there for nickel situations? Not a bad idea. Same thing for Tavon Coney. Bigger, fast linebacker, but maybe a guy who struggles in coverage. Boom. Maybe you make the change. Now, one guy that was intriguing, and I want to make sure that I have this right, but Terrell Hanks out of New Mexico State, I believe, is a safety turned linebacker, excellent in coverage, but obviously still learning as a linebacker. Perhaps he's a mid-round pick. at 6'2", 242. You know, is he a guy who you feel you can develop as a fourth round pick, or maybe you trade into the late third and make sure you get him, and you feel you can develop him with Lavonte David, with Deion Buchanan, with Kendall Beckwith possibly coming back. And now you've got a developmental linebacker who can learn behind them so that if Beckwith doesn't work, boom, Terrell Hanks. As Lavonte David gets older, making over $10 million a year, if the Bucs have to make a tough move, tough decision, boom, Terrell Hanks. If Deion Buchanan has a great year and they just can't re-sign him, boom, Terrell Hanks. And again, replace Hanks with Lamar, Coney, Edwards, whomever. But now you can get that linebacker in the mid rounds, have them learn the system, not have to step in and play right away, and lean on vets like Lavonte David and Deion Buchanan. And allow yourself to get that defensive end in the earlier rounds of the draft so that your linebackers are better. In the end, they could draft Devin White, and all of what I just said was a waste of air. But all three of these positions have pretty good depth for what the Buccaneers need in this new defense, and they kind of align with what the Bucs do. Now, man press coverage on the outside, bigger corners that can play the outside. Safeties that can fly around, play the middle of the field. Available mid-round picks. Same thing with these linebackers, whether it's Hanks, Lamar, Coney, Pratt out of NC State, Edwards out of Wisconsin. Mid-round pick, third, fourth, fifth round picks. Pick one, get them, develop them. I talked a lot about that in my last podcast. This organization, I can't even remember the last time they developed multiple players, that multiple players got to their next contract, that they were better at their first or at their second contract than they were when they were drafted as a rookie. Far and few between, too far and too few between for this organization. How on earth do you plan on making it to the playoffs, or dare I say Super Bowl, and not develop any players? Shame on the coaches that were here before. But that's a big reason this coaching staff is here now. I call him Kinky. There's only one reason I call him that. And that's because I'm nasty.
What up, Bucks mobs? Kinky if you're nasty. See y'all at the draft party. I just wanted to talk about this, talk a little more on Gerald McCoy. I've been on social media arguing with people, and it's a lot of fans that just love the guy. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I understand that. He's a good guy. Yo, he's been a good player for us. Seems always smiling. Seems like the nicest gentleman. You know what I'm saying? So I understand you, like, just liking the guy and loving the guy or whatever. But the thing is, I'm a fan of the Bucks. So the person, I could care less about. Because if you love the person so much, he's probably going to be that same person on whatever team he ends up on. So you shouldn't be mad. Like, you shouldn't care. But I'm looking at the player, and the player hasn't impacted the team enough for me to care if he stays or goes. And that's just it. If you love the person, fine. He's going to be that person wherever he lands. But the player ain't worth $13 million. So the player can ride, unless the player takes a pay cut. Because the player ain't helping the team the way he should be helping the team. So for everybody that keep calling people haters, that want to see him gone and questioning our judgment because we love guys like Sapp who are assholes in real life and shit like that. Like, no, we love the players. We love the players. If you're a great player, you okay with me. What you do off the field means I probably wouldn't hang out with you. You know what I'm saying? I probably wouldn't invite you to my house for dinner. I probably wouldn't trust you around my wife or trust you around my female in my family or something like that. But if you winning games with me, okay. You all right with me, fella. In that uniform, you okay with me? Like Kobe Bryant, I probably wouldn't hang out with Kobe Bryant. But damn if he ain't my favorite player of all time. That's all I got, man. See y'all at the draft party. It's Kinky. Kinky from Nasty
Eye. Oh, you got it, Kinky. We'll see you at the pool party. We'll see you at the draft party. And after that Bucks take, I'm pretty sure I know who you're going to be hanging out with all night. Lee from the team, man. He feels the same way about Gerald McCoy. Thank you, Kinky. Kinky, if I'm nasty. And I am. Ari's up next. We'll replay my interview I had on with Phil on the full press coverage. Full press coverage podcast for the Buccaneers. Love it. Thanks for having me on, Phil. All right, Ari's up. What up, Ari?
Ari Dion from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Brand new Bucks Mob member. So I would like to thank you guys for welcoming me to the family. Have really high hopes of what we can do this year with our coaching staff. Where we are picking in the draft. Of possibilities of a trade back and all that. But the main reason for my call is asking you to add Oklahoma to the list. Because I'm repping the 405 when I come out there for this draft party. We only got one more Sunday that we have to endure before we get to see who our new players are. It's going to be really great. I'd like to give a quick shout out to all the sponsors. Subaru, it's my favorite car. Buffalo Wild Wings for throwing us a good party. And I think Christian's doing some amazing things out there. I think that's great that you guys are giving somebody some hair replacement. I don't really have to worry about that as I have some luscious dreads swinging from my head. Nah, I'm just playing, man. Hey, so this is a little bit of therapy for me coming to this draft party. I'm fresh out of a relationship. It was really, really hard, but enough of that. I'm ready to see our next step towards a championship because that's all that matters. So without further ado, go Bucks. Let's get it.
Ari, I got one thing to say to you, man. Welcome to the fucking family. And did I hear he's got high hopes? Oh, we replay the interview I did on somebody else's podcast. The full press coverage Buccaneers podcast. I replay that for you next. But I, too, have got them high hopes, boy.
Bucks. Uncensored.
This is Bucks Uncensored, man, 2 weeks away from the Bud Light Bucks Uncensored Draft Party, Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa. Can't wait to see everyone. It's going to be the party of the ages, man. People are going to come out. They're going to get drunk. They're going to get that 5-for-15 Bud Light, Mick Ultra, 16-ounce aluminum. Come on, man. That's a phenomenal deal. $25 all you can eat. So look at this. $35 gets you 5 16-ounce aluminum bottles of Bud Light and all you can eat all night. That's terrible math. It's $40. $40 gets you I swear I'm good at math. It's really my strength. So, you know, things happen late at night. No, I'm missing. Without further ado, I've known Philip for a long time, man. Long time on Twitter. Kind of went back and forth. I've gone back and forth a lot. He is an incredible chef, sous chef locally. Bounced around a little bit, and I'm going to go visit him at his new stop soon. But his current stop, they call it the Red Flag Podcast. I apologize. But the full press coverage Buccaneers. Phil got to lock me in and ask me some questions about the Bucks. So usually I'm just telling you stuff. Now somebody's asking me, and then I'm just telling it to them. So without further ado, here is one amazing interview.
Bucks Uncensored.
All right. Welcome back to the Red Flag Podcast. I'm your host from the first half, Philip Schwegler. I got my special guest on that I've been talking about. Guy, I've been really excited to get on the podcast for quite a while now, and it would just happen to schedules happen to open up for us. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Justin Pawlowski. Everyone knows him as the Commish. He's the host of the Bucks Uncensored podcast, and I would say the undisputed biggest Bucks fan out there of right now.
No, I mean, first off, I don't think there's a measure in how big of a fan you can be. I love the team. I love the city, and I love to win. And that's really all what it comes down to. Anyone that listens to my podcast knows that, you know, yeah, I'm going to root for players, but I'm going to root for players because I want them to win ultimately. And in the end, it's a business, and some players are going to go. Some players are going to come. I don't care who's on the team. I don't care who's coaching the team, but this team's got to start winning, Phil.
I know, man. For years and years and years, you know, we've been out there in the brutal sun, you know, even in training camp when we had that training camp takeover day, man, I went home, like, my shorts were soaking wet from sweat, my socks, my shoes started to get wet. I mean, we were out there really cheering on this team. You know, we really thought they were going to be something big back in 2016, but you know, now we're looking at 2019. We have a whole new regime with Bruce Arians and his incredible staff that he's put together. And, you know, and looking around, you know, the fan base, you look on Facebook, you look on Twitter and everything, you kind of get like a mixed feeling about how fans are feeling. So basically, I just want to ask you, you know, since you have a little bit closer of a, I guess, connect to a lot of fans, what do you think the pulse of the fan base is right now? And do you think that they're buying into Bruce Arians and his staff?
Yeah, really. That's kind of what I tailor my podcast around. It's about the Bucks, but it's mostly about the Buccaneer fans and giving fans a chance to voice their opinion. And, you know, I don't know anything more. Opinions are opinions, right? It doesn't matter if you're at one Buck place every single day or if you're reading every quote that the Buccaneers send out. You don't have to be there. And we all watch it on TV. We see the team performing on the field. We all have our opinions. I'm no more right than anyone else. I have been way wrong in my day. But I think the pulse of the fans right now is, what's a good word? I was going to say hesitation. I don't think it's hesitation. I do think that there is some excitement, but it's kind of like a tempered excitement. That's a good way to put it. It's like,
yeah,
I'm excited because we for the first time, probably since Gruden, have a true full staff from top to bottom that we can look at and say, this is a professional staff. This is an NFL staff. And one thing that has hurt this team, maybe even more than their inability to draft over the years, has been their inability to develop players. And that's why this team always had so much cap room heading into free agency, was because none of the players that they were drafting were developing and worthy of second contracts. I think we're so focused around here on, did they get the draft pick right? What we need to start focusing on is, are they going to develop these 21 to 23 year olds? Because if you don't develop them, it doesn't matter if you draft the best player in the draft or the worst player in the draft. They're not going to turn out into anything because you have to continue to get better. And that's where I think the strength of this coaching staff is development and being in the NFL and knowing the strengths of their players and tailoring their offense and defense to the strengths of their players rather than trying to fit players into what they do. And so that's what I'm excited about. I think there is a large majority of Bucks fans that have a quiet excitement. Maybe they're not boisterous at the top of the mountaintops, but you know, I do think that there is a tempered excitement right now, and that once training camp rolls around with Bruce Arians and you start to think of the firepower they have on offense and you start to think about that nucleus they have on defense and whoever they go and get in this draft, which they could get a couple of pieces both on offense and defense that can help them fill those needs right now. But I think you're not going to look at just this draft as a we've got to get past it, Phil. We got to get past drafting players and hoping that they come in their rookie seasons and make a gigantic impact. We got to hope that the players they draft this year are making their biggest impact in years 3, 4, 5 and on. Okay. They don't need to make the impact in year 1 and year 2. Let's develop these players. Let's make them great by their next contract. That's how you build a championship team.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's something, you know, as Bucks fans, as you watch them over the years and you watch them on Twitter and they complain about this and complain about that, you can't turn the roster over every single year. I mean, you're not going to have a good team if you do that every single year. We got to get this new player here. We got this new player there. You got to develop these guys and teach them to play your brand of football. And Bruce Arians, I think, is the perfect person to come into the Buccaneers organization to do that. You know, he's that no BS guy. We're doing it this way because this we want to win. And if you don't want to win, get out of here, you know, and that's what I'm excited about for the Buccaneers, you know, heading into 2019. And I think a lot of fans are when they really look at, you know, you actually have a guy who's going to stand out there and tell you what's on his mind and tell you what's right and tell you what's wrong and not kind of like baby you through it. He's going to train you up. He's got coaches who know how to train, you know, these players and, you know, be personable and, you know, get on their level. And hey, if this guy, you can't yell at this guy because he doesn't understand it that way, then you have to do it. I mean, you have the coaches that can do that with Bruce Arians' staff. And I think that's the thing you really have to be excited about for 2019.
Well, and I think too, with Bruce Arians, he's going to say those things. He's going to be blunt behind the scenes, but we need to learn as fans what he says to the media, that evil. Yeah. They're so evil, Phil, the evil Bucks media, is that, you know, he loves everyone, right? He loved DeSean Jackson. He loved Quan Alexander. He loved Adam Humphries.
He's a people's person, you know?
He loves Gerald McCoy. But in the end, DeSean Jackson's gone, Adam Humphries is gone, Quan Alexander's gone, and Gerald McCoy's on his way out. And the reason that they're on the way out is because, and people just think, I don't know if they're living in their childhood days of, you know, money growing on trees, and we just have all this money that we can just throw around to every single player. But that's just not how it is. I mean, now we have to get past that point and stop focusing on just one or two players. We got to keep these players. No. You got to build a winner. And the way to do that is you got to treat it like a business, you know. If your assets, if you know, your employee is asking for more than you think they're going to be worth over the next couple of years, you've got to turn. And if that employee is going to leave and go to that other company, I'm not even talking about football right now. I'm talking about any business. If that employee is going to go to another company, fine. You can't worry about that. You can't overpay for that employee, because if you pay that employee too much and they're not a return, they're not giving you a return on your investment, then you're wasting that money and you're hurting your organization. Okay. Yeah. So, You let that employee go, and you go out and you hire another one that's going to come in. You train them and train them to do the job. Okay. Yeah. And then now all of a sudden, if you're getting a better return, overall return on your investment, then that's what you got to end up doing. So I'm not focused on, you know, one or two players that left this team. I'm not focused on one or two players that joined this team. I'm looking at the overall big picture. Do they have the key players in the key positions? All right. The strong positions in an organization, quarterback, wide receiver, corner. You want to shut down corner. You want pass rushers, right? And you want a left tackle to protect the blind side. That's always been the key positions on a football team. They've got Mike Evans, they got Jameis Winston, they re-signed Donovan Smith, which I thought was a great deal. And then once free agency started, it ended up being a great deal. They got pass rushers in JPP and Carl Nassib. I think they're still missing a true shutdown corner, but I think Carlton Davis actually could become that if they develop him the right way. So I think they've got some of those key players at key positions. Now it's just time to continue to build on that, get the right players in here. And I think, and I know we're going to get into some draft talk, this organization has seemed to shy away from loading up on the line of scrimmage, both offensively and defensively.
Yeah.
This is a defensive line draft. This is the year. Listen, if you want to win and you've got the opportunity to build up your offensive and defensive lines and make them dominant, you do that. This year, the strength of this draft is defensive line. I really hope they keep Vita Vea. Gerald McCoy might be on the way out, but you could get one or two defensive ends in this new 3-4, and we got to get past the 4-3. It's a 3-4 attacking style defense now. I think you can get two ends in the 3-4, stand up JPP and Carl Nassib on the outside, and I'll tell you, you're putting together a really, really strong front seven on your defense. And with that and the new coaching, I think this defense could go from one of the worst to one of the, I would say, top half defenses in the NFL next year in one season.
Yeah, I am right behind you with that, man. And like you said, you know, coaching is going to be the biggest thing for this team heading forward on the defensive line. And I mean, just as a defense as in general, get some coaches out there can really train these guys up and play to their strengths, not make them play in the system that you want. Kind of like, you know, we saw with Dirk Cutter and definitely with Lovie Smith. Play to the player's strength, which kind of brings me to one guy that I love this guy. He's like one of my favorite players on the team, Levante David. You know, back in the day when I can't remember the coach right now. But you know, Shiano, thank you. He had that really big season where he was behind the offensive line all day, taking out the quarterback, the running back, everything. And I kind of feel like that's the kind of year that we're going to see for him. So my question to you is, you know, what kind of year do you think he's going to have under this Todd Bowles attack defense?
Yeah, I think it's a great fit for Levante David personally. I think he could play outside linebacker as an undersized outside linebacker in a 3-4 just because of his natural instincts and ability to rush the passer, which I have no idea why Lovie Smith and Mike Smith never, ever blitzed Levante David. How do you watch film on a guy, see his greatest strength, and then say, you know what? We're not going to use him that way. That is asinine. That is so stupid. And that is why this organization has lost. That's just a microcosm of why they've lost so bad over the last few years. But, you know, I look at it and Levante David, I think he could be all over the field. And I think he needs to be that leader on this defense this year. And I think Todd Bowles needs him in this defense. I think Levante David has the opportunity, even at 29, 30 years old, which he's getting up there and he's a $10 million player. So anytime you start to get close to 30 and you're making $10 million, the questions start. Listen, if Justin Houston can get cut by the Chiefs, if Terrell Suggs can leave the Ravens, Gerald McCoy and Levante David can ultimately leave the Buccaneers. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. I mean, those two players I just mentioned were meant way more to their organizations than Levante David and Gerald McCoy do. Yeah. And that's no shot to Levante David and Gerald McCoy. Sorry, you haven't produced winning seasons since you've been with the Buccaneers. But Levante David still has that that talent, still has those instincts. And, you know, in this attacking, and you got to continue to put that word out there, this attacking style of 3-4 defense, it's tailored for Levante David's strength. So I think he's got the opportunity to have a massive year, and I hope he does.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, him when they had Quan Alexander up there and they had Kendall Beck with them, those three guys actually played on the field together. I thought that was the best combination of linebackers that the Buccaneers had at the time. So, you know, staying
on
the defense.
I'll throw out one statement. The linebacker that gets me most excited, that has gotten me most excited, is Kendall Beckwith over the last few years. And for him to get that in that car accident and the ankle, I mean, I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I just think, man, if he could just get healthy, he was so consistently good in his first few games that you're just like, man, you see the potential there. And he's got the size. He had the bulk. If he can get healthy, him and Levante in the middle of this defense would just be dynamite, just be dynamic. I would love to see it. I don't know how healthy he is. I love the signing of Deion Buchanan, and I don't know if we're going to get into him, but drafting a linebacker, an off-the-ball linebacker with the fifth pick that hasn't been done in over 25 years, I just think there's so much better value out there than drafting a linebacker that high. You want to trade down, get him in the teens and load up on picks, by all means do so. But that's not a position I'm drafting with the fifth overall pick in any draft.
No, and like you said on your podcast, I think on Monday, you know, I feel pretty comfortable with what the Buccaneers have at linebacker right now, especially with signing Buchanan. You know, if we can get Kendall Beckwith back, I mean, that would just be, you know, the icing on the cake. Him, Levante David, and Buchanan really taking over that linebacking core. But we still got to wait to see what happens for training camp. Like you said, there hasn't been really much. And I've been listening, looking, reading everything I could to find out, and haven't found out much. So, but we'll kind of jump into the draft then. You know, the magic question everyone's thinking about, and it's been on their mind, they're talking about right now, is, you know, what do the Buccaneers do at five? Are they trading down? Are they trading up? Are they going to get the Quinnen Williams, or, you know, are they going to go after a linebacker like you said that we hope we don't, because I don't think there's a linebacker in the draft worth drafting number five overall.
Yeah, you know, and let me preface this by saying, hey, if they get Devin White, if they draft him with the fifth overall pick, am I going to be pissed? Oh, my God. I mean, no, I'm going to root for him. I want the guy to succeed because I want my team to win. I just don't know if that's the position I'd take. Nothing against him. Yeah. Every year we see these all-world linebackers, right? It was Hassan Reddick a couple of years ago, which, by the way, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles took. It was way back in the day, Aaron Curry. It was, I mean, every year you have these freak linebackers. Some end up being great players, and some end up being nothing. And so, but every year you have them. And so that's why I just think you can find some linebackers somewhere else. There's more linebackers in this draft than just Devin White and Devin Bush. Now, with that being said, with the fifth pick, I mean, for once, please, Jason Light, can we attack the strength of the draft? I mean, a few years ago, defensive tackle was loaded in the draft, and they didn't draft one. They needed one. They didn't draft one.
Yep, I remember
that. The last two years of the NFL draft, there have never been as many talented running backs come out in the draft than what we've seen over the last 2 years. I would say at least 80% of them are contributing in a big way to their teams. With that being said, the Bucs drafted Jeremy McNichols and Ronald Jones. And those are the two of the worst producing running backs in the draft over the last 2 years. So I have to question Jason Light. When you're looking at a draft and you look at the strength of the draft, how are you not attacking it? And how are you not attacking it the right way? How are you the one that missed out on all those great players? And so when I look at this draft and I see all of these defensive linemen and all of these defensive ends, I almost get offended to think somebody would consider the Bucs taking a position other than that. It's a position this team has longed for since the days of Sapp and Rice. They hadn't even had a double-digit sack producer until Jason Pierre-Paul this past year. So you think all of your defensive line issues are gone? When you look at the defensive line, now you have the ends. I talked about JPP and Carl Nassib getting them big on the outside, standing up. I think both can stand up. Yeah. But when you look at the three linemen that are going to play in the 3-4, you've got Vita Vea, who I think was phenomenal in the second half of the year last year. But who are your ends? McCoy? I mean, Bruce Arians just said his days are behind him, okay? He's losing the quickness. And if he's losing the quickness, what else does he have? He's not the strongest. He doesn't have the best technique. His quickness is how he plays the game. And once that's gone, he's gone. And so you need to get rid of players a year before they lose it. That's why they need to get rid of Gerald McCoy this year. Other than McCoy, who do you have? William Golston? You know, there's not really many players on the roster that play end in a 3-4. You know, I'm looking at guys that are usually 6'2", 6'3", to about 6'6", and around 285 to 310 pounds. That's my image, like a Richard Seymour type for a 3-4, or a Stephen Tuitt for the or Cameron Hayward for the Steelers. You know, just those big guys that take on multiple blockers. Now, versatile attacking style 3-4. Maybe it's a different type of 3-4 defensive end. But if I'm at five, my number one target is Quinnen Williams. No, I mean, without a shadow of a doubt. And I would engage in trade talks with the Niners and Jets just to see.
Yeah.
Not saying I would do it, because if they ask for 3 first round picks, they can, you know. And if they ask for 2 first round picks, they can, you know. But if it's a first and a second, and I guarantee myself Quinnen Williams, the best player in the draft, I mean, I got to at least think about it, right?
Oh, yeah. You want to try to find out what you can get for anything.
What if the 49ers want the first and Gerald McCoy? I don't know. You throw it out or first, third in Gerald McCoy. Now you have to consider it, because to get the best player in the draft, you have to have those conversations. With that being said, Jason Light has not been one to move up and make that bold move in a draft, at least in the first round. So I don't see them trading back either. If you can get one of the best five players in the draft, unless somebody comes to you with a massive trade offer, which at five you might get, maybe they can get an extra first round pick. If they stay at five, Quinnen Williams, and if not Quinnen Williams, I'm a fan of Ed Oliver. I know he's not, I know he's undersized, but you know, I've watched this guy at Houston. Being a USF fan, I've followed him. I know a lot of people have. His quickness, but his quickness to strength, how he uses the quickness to provide the strength. I mean, he's a special player now. And if they do want to run this attacking style 3-4 defense, I know Quinnen Williams can attack and get up the field, but Ed Oliver can attack and get up the field. Okay. And he's not the biggest. And, you know, the size is going to be the biggest issue, but he's strong as hell. He's quick as hell. And if they are wanting to attack and do a gap style 3-4 defense, Ed Oliver might be an ideal fit for what they want to do. If they're looking for an end on the outside long-term, you know, if the JPP, he's only got a couple of years left on his contract, you know, Josh Allen, Nick Bosa, obvious picks, you know, Montez Sweat. I wouldn't throw out Rashawn Gary either of Michigan. You know, they, Bruce Arians and Todd Bowles drafted Kim Dichie a couple of years ago. He was that defensive tackle that just had all the talent in the world, but the production wasn't there. And apparently he's going to play a big role in their defense this year. They drafted him then. You know, I look at Rashawn Gary as a similar type player. He had all the talent in the world coming into college, five-star recruit, went to Michigan. You look at his statistics and the production's not there. But if Todd Bowles and Bruce Arians look at that overall talent and say, again, coaching will get the most out of him, we will develop him into a dominant 3-4 defensive end. I'm not saying what I would do now. I'm saying it wouldn't shock me. And that's one thing, Phil, that I do in the draft. I prepare myself for all angles so that I'm not going to be surprised. Okay. Yeah. What would they do? What makes sense? And how did the pieces connect? And, you know, that's just one that continues to come back to me. I don't know if it would happen. I just see that. I saw that pattern in Arizona with Kim Dichie, and who knows, maybe they do something similar this year as well.
Yeah, and you know, from what I've read, you know, from Twitter and stuff like that, it seems like Bruce Arians is going to have a little bit more of his hand, you know, in the draft and really trying to pick players that he really thinks will fit this team, along with Jason Light. And you know, I don't think Jason Light's done a bad job drafting players. I mean, he's had, you know, those few, you know, Roberto Aguayo picks and stuff like that. But for the most part, you know, he got us Jameis Winston, he got us Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet. I mean, Quan Alexander, while he was here, you know, he's had these decent drafts where he's gotten these cornerstone players on this team that are going to be here for the next few years and stuff like that. So like looking at Mike Evans and those kind of guys. So overall, I feel like you're going to really feel a Bruce Arians type draft this season, you know, really getting guys that he likes. And, you know, talking about trading back or trading up, you know, I'm always the guy that wants to trade back. If I can get the right price or the right money, the right personnel from the trading back from five or whatever. And a guy I'm looking at, if we trade back, would be Brian Burns from Florida State. And the guy has incredible bend. He's got those pass rushing moves. He's quick off the line. I mean, it could be a guy that can really match up really well with Carl Nassib. And like you were saying, JPP for the next few years. So the Buccaneers trade back, that's kind of the guy I'm looking for. Ed Oliver, of course, would love to see him in a Buccaneers uniform also, just like you were describing. So kind of moving away from the draft for a second, I got a few more questions for you and I'll let you go. I know you're a busy man just like myself. You know, Jameis Winston. Yeah, exactly. You know, Jameis Winston, this is his year. This is his big year. He's got the coach he wanted. I don't know if you want to say he wanted, but the coach he needed, I feel like anyways, heading up into his contract year. So what kind of year do you think Jameis Winston is going to have under Bruce Arians?
The hope is that he has a great year. You know, I think Jameis Winston was not only playing against opposing defenses, he was playing against current players on his roster and his locker room. He was playing against his coach, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think Dirk Cutter did a very good job of, you know, showing loyalty to his quarterback. And again, you know, whether you believe he should or not, it doesn't matter. But Bruce Arians came in and squashed everything. And you know what that did? It stopped all the questions. It stopped all the rumors. It stopped everything. And all year long, well, is Jameis going to come back or replace Jameis? Is Jameis even going to have a job? Are they going to trade him? Are they going to do this? Are they going to do that?
Yep.
And then Bruce Arians comes in and goes, nope, Jameis is my guy. They got rid of Fitzpatrick. They got rid of DeSean Jackson. They got rid of all those guys. Jameis went. So all the questions were gone. And those are distractions. And so when you look back to last year, Jameis Winston's suspended for the first three games. Ryan Fitzpatrick obviously did great. Jameis Winston comes in. He's 24 years old. Nobody's contacted him. He hasn't talked to his coaches. I can only imagine what's going on in his head. And he's probably thinking, holy, I mean, I've got to keep up the pace here. I have to keep up the pace. And and he admitted to it finally after the fact. But you could tell he was pressing. You could tell he was trying to because he didn't want to be the letdown. God, there are so many people in this world that just want to break a guy down. But when you get past the game of football and you start to think of him as a kid who's just trying to figure his way around the world, and he's 24 years old, and he sees some guy that's in his 30s doing great at the job he's supposed to have, he's putting added pressure on himself now. And no coach tried to guide him. No coach tried to help him. They just threw him out there, and he was pressing. He was pressing, and nobody told him to be himself. Not one of those coaches on that former staff told him, stop trying to be somebody else and start being yourself again. And so Jameis Winston gets benched after that Bengals game, and the coaches gave up on him. They were all in on Fitzpatrick. Dirk Cutter's all in on Fitzpatrick because he's just trying to save his job now. He knew the writing was on the wall. And by the way, he got fired because he's the one that wanted to sign Chris Baker. He's the one that wanted to sign DeSean Jackson. And Dirk Cutter's the one that did not want to trade DeSean Jackson. So, you know, Jason Light has made his mistakes, but we also have to take into account how Jason Light works with head coaches and what those head coaches, how much they had to say about free agency, how much they had to say about the draft. We'll never know the details, but I'm just throwing that out there. Now back to Jameis Winston. You know, once he was benched, he got his close family around, his close friends, and he determined upon himself, watching the film himself, coaching himself at 24. Yeah. I got to go back to being me. I've got to run my offense, not Ryan Fitzpatrick's offense. Okay. So he comes back. He was phenomenal over the last eight games. He didn't turn the ball over. He was very efficient running Dirk Cutter's crappy offense. Okay. And, you know, that's the Jameis Winston that they need. Now, Bruce Arians comes in, no more distractions, no more Jameis Winston having to coach himself, no more looking over your shoulder. Well, competition brings out the best in everyone. Yeah, that's fine. Except when you're having the same questions asked about the same guys every week to both guys and to the coach, that's a distraction. Okay. You've got to pick a quarterback and go with that guy. That's why I think Jameis Winston's going to be much better this year. He's going to be very efficient in this offense. And I think you're going to see Jameis Winston go out and have a really good year this year. I really hope so, because if they're going to win, if they have any shot at making the playoffs ever, Jameis Winston's got to be great.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, taking that extra pressure off his back and, you know, not having to worry about the Ryan Fitzpatrick right behind him, or, you know, the Coach Cutter trying to tell him to throw the ball down the field to DeSean Jackson, you know, those distractions, being out of his mind this season, I feel like he's going to play, you know, Jameis Winston football. I think we're going to see a totally different Buccaneers offense this season under Bruce Arians through Jameis Winston. And that's got to get you exciting. I mean, even if you're not a Jameis Winston fan, you're just a Buccaneers fan and you're rooting for Bruce Arians. I mean, they're gonna give it to you, and that's the only thing you really go off of right now until we start seeing some stuff. So we're kind of pressing for time now. So I know you have this huge draft party that you do the past 2 years. It's coming up soon. You want to kind of tell us about it?
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty big. South Tampa is where we're gonna be. Buffalo Wild Wings in South Tampa, both the Thursday night, April 25th, the Friday night, April 26th. Great central location. You know, if you're coming from Brandon, coming from Sarasota, you're coming from Wesley Chapel, 75 to the Crosstown, you're coming from Pinellas, you take the Gandy all the way to Dale Mabry. It's right there. And if you're coming from North Tampa, just Dale Mabry, straight shot all the way down. Yeah. We're only like 10 minutes from the stadium. We've got like 60 rooms booked at the hotel down the street. There's going to be a huge pool party from about noon to three both days at the Courtyard by Marriott on Cypress. So if you want to join us for that, we'll be there for that. And then Buffalo Wild Wings, South Tampa, starting at 6 o'clock both nights. On the Thursday night, we've got a $25 all-you-can-eat buffet that starts at 6. You go there as many times as you want throughout the night. We're going to have a massive tent outside. We've got a huge HD screen outside. This year, which I'm really pumped about because I really pressed them hard, Buffalo Wild Wings came through in the clutch. And we're going to have two portable outdoor bars under the tent with two full beer tubs, all taking credit cards. So my big thing for parties is, can I watch what I'm there to watch? Can I get food quickly? And more importantly, do I have access to alcohol? You're going to have all three at the 2019 Bud Light Bucks Uncensored Draft Party. Along with that, we've got 16-ounce aluminum bottles of Bud Light and Mick Ultra, 5 for $15. And we'll have, I believe, $2 or $3 shot specials throughout the night. A portion of the proceeds go into Quantum Leap, which is a great, great foundation that helps our veterans through the use of animals, in particularly horses. So really, really pleased to be sending a check their way. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It really is, Phil. I'm looking forward to seeing you and all the Bucks fans, man. This is an exciting time. It's the anticipation of the draft, the hope that the guy the Bucks draft is the next Hall of Famer. And, you know, you were talking about Jameis Winston before. I'll tell you, I'm not worried about Jameis Winston. I'm concerned about that offensive line. If they get that offensive line right, if they get that right side of the line right, I think Jameis Winston's in for a big year this year.
No, I'm right behind you, brother. And, you know, going back to draft party, I've been there the past two years. And let me tell you what, you're not going to find a better party in town anyways than going to the Bucks Uncensored draft party. One last question for you. I don't know if you can really give us anything, but you got anything planned for training camp this year?
Oh, we'll do a takeover. You know, the Bucks really threw a wrench in it by getting rid of the bleachers last year. And the inside didn't have the vibe that I was hoping for. We just really had a great time under those bleachers and the hot sun and the shade, really created a loud atmosphere. But, you know, I'm trying to work with Brian Ford to see what we can do. And, you know, just know that not only do I have a training camp things planned up, but we're going to do a big kickoff party, maybe the Friday night before the season starts that Sunday, just for Bucks fans, like a Bucks pep rally.
Okay.
Dare I say something relating to fantasy football? I don't know. I don't know yet. I haven't done that since I was in the radio, but I know a lot of people loved when I ran fantasy football leagues in the past. So might do that. We might do another road trip. This, you know, we're just throwing events out there. We'll do some watch parties, but I love doing these events because I just love getting the fans together, laughing, joking, drinking, having a good time. And all having something in common. We're all Bucks fans, you know, and exactly. It gets people talking to each other. I'll tell you, Phil, I've made some of the best friends in my life the last 2 years just from doing this podcast. I mean, there are guys that I'm texting with all the time that I'm staying at their homes in other cities. They're staying at my they're just people I met on the podcast. The only thing we had in common were the Bucks. And then we realized there's a lot more things. So making friends, you know, and opening our eyes to different people around us and all becoming one family and really trying to unite this fan base, a fan base that hasn't been one of the stronger ones in the NFL. Why not? We can make it that way. There's Bucks fans all across the nation, all across the world. I know because we were going to have like 17 states represented at the draft party and maybe a few countries, wild. You know, they're all over the place. Let's come together. Let's be one. Let's be loud and let's win. That's all that matters. That's all that matters to me. That's all I want.
I'm right there with you, brother, and I appreciate your time tonight, man. And make sure you guys check out Justin Pulowski's podcast, Bucks Uncensored podcast. You can find him on iTunes, pretty much anywhere. You got Mondays and Wednesdays, right? That's when you usually have your shows.
Yes, you got that right.
All right. So make sure you check him out. Again, Justin, I appreciate you coming on, my brother, and I will see you on the 25th.
All right, man. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
No problem.
All right. And thanks again to Phil for having me on the Red Flag Podcast. Check out his podcast, all the great podcasts out there, whether it's this one, mine, or it's Phil's, the Red Flag Podcast, or it's Ren's and Brent's, Pewtercast. Love those guys. You know what? I know Ren didn't listen to every single one, but Ren, I'm going to text you. We're going to do lunch Saturday. I want to do a podcast with him. Maybe I'll reach out to Trevor Sycama, see what he's doing. My boy Luke. A meeting of the minds, man. See if Ira, the Joes, we'll just get like 10 people there. That's what y'all want to hear. Just 10 people just babbling on about the Bucks. I don't know. But, yeah, man, there's so many great podcasts out there. Whether you need that hardcore Bucks fix, you need all the breakdown of film. They got those out there. You got Iris out there with all the stories. You got Bobby Fenton with his unique spin on things. God, he just hates uniforms, a lot of them. But he loves a lot of uniforms, too. I wish the Bucks were one that Bobby loves. Bobby, you know what? Join the crew. Oh, Jesus. K and ends with a D, crew. And hey, thanks to our sponsors as well, Buffalo Wild Wings, hosting this event, title sponsor of the podcast, and really the host of many events this year to come that we'll share with you probably just before and then after the draft party coming up. Thanks to Bud Light stepping up, being the title sponsor of our draft party this year. Thank you to Mastro Subaru. I know Pete and Steve and the guys from Mastro Subaru are going to be out at the draft party as well. They're giving you a discount on new and pre-owned vehicles just for saying you're a member of the Bucks Mob. Go and do it. Christian Perez of Headlines Barbershop is changing your life. If you're losing hair, he will fix it permanently. Permanently. And before what you drink, before you drink, they have said they're going to be at the draft party. And they asked how many people because they needed to know how many free cans of before they're going to hand out. So I'll confirm with them that they will, in fact, be in attendance. Thank you to each and every one of you that continue to make this podcast, Bucks Uncensored, one of the most listened to, if not the most listened to, Bucks podcast out there. This podcast is available for you to subscribe to on iTunes, Google Play, Podcast Addict, Podbean. Okay, whether you have an iPhone or an Android, there's an app that's right for you. Now, these podcasts post usually around 10 o'clock on Mondays and Wednesdays. However, if you want it before then, sometimes even the night before, JoeBucksFan.com, the place to go. They waste no time. They're like, we got to get the commish up on our site. JoeBucksFan.com, best Buccaneer website out there. Really, one of the few, if not the only, Bucks website other than Buccaneers.com that I go to for news. I check out all my other podcasts out there. You know my guys. You know my podcast guys. And thank you to each and every one of you. I mean, the podcast, the draft party, bringing fans together. You know, it's really what it's all about for me, genuinely. So thank you. And welcome to the fucking family. Nailed it.
Go Bucks.